This is Market Insights, the Market Pulse podcast by Oanda.
I'm Johnny Hart. This is the Market Insights Market Pulse podcast. Let's join our guest, Trader Nick in the United States. How you doing, Nick?
Hey, Johnny. I'm good. How are you?
Very good. It's a busy week. We've already had some data over the last couple of days with more to come. Let's start with your view on those services numbers yesterday. The reaction to them has had an effect on the dollar.
Yeah, no. And, you know, as you mentioned just there, the dollar's been up for, you know, months now. Just the strong economic data from the U.S. continues to roll in. And yesterday, I think that the market was already a little bit kind of on the fringes of, is good news bad news again or not? Well, we kind of got a weird answer yesterday. I mean, services PMI came in real upbeat, beat the forecast by a landslide here. And then same thing with JOLTS job opening. So JOLTS job opening showed pretty aggressive and demand for hiring. And so, you know, that combination with yields already rising and the dollar index very strong already sent things to kind of fresh highs for 2025. And if we actually take a look at yields here, yields went up to at one point, well, actually today they're up to 4.72. So that's a pretty good jump in the 10-year. Of course, dragging the dollar higher with that and dragging most other currencies relative to the dollar down. I mean, this is the thing, Johnny, is now you've got this question of, okay, the U.S., for a while we were cheering this idea like, hey, the U.S. economy is holding up just fine despite these interest rates. But now the question is there the possibility that in 2025, we not only cease to talk about rate cuts, but we even entertain the idea of rate hikes. If this economy is just going to keep beating on every, metric, does that, and of course it's not every metric, but a large number of the key indicators that the Fed is looking at to make the decision to cut rates, they keep pointing towards stronger economic data, which could suggest a revamp in inflation could be coming. We also, of course, are just weeks away from Donald Trump taking office, which has a whole nother list of questions with it. So, you know, we've got a January Fed meeting coming up, Johnny, and I kind of lean towards this idea that the Fed, I would be very surprised if they did not simply do nothing and wait in January, because you've got a lot of questions between now and the following meeting after that, simply because you have a new president taking office. You have, some time to see what more of the data is coming in. We've got NFP this Friday. It's a really key pivotal time. And I think a lot of people in markets are a little bit concerned that you've got the dollar index back up to 109.26 today. I mean, that is a big jump in the dollar index.
And it was just a few weeks ago that many were predicting the Fed would cut rates four times in 2025, but that has definitely changed over the last few weeks. What is now on the agenda as far as the prediction for those rate cuts this year?
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, we went from turn of the year arguments for four plus rate cuts, potentially, maybe finally getting that relief in rates that people have been looking forward to, but the bond market has been pretty consistently calling the Fed's bluff of now even suggesting that perhaps two rate cuts signaled by the Fed is wishful thinking. I mean, with the 10-year back up to 4.71, what we have to think about, Johnny, is that back in 2023, when we had the big inflation, scare late October 2023, we had a revamp on concerns about inflation. Well, we went up to 4.99. We just barely made it to 5 briefly before coming back down. And now with the bond market, actually getting some rate cuts from the Fed, many would suggest like, oh, that's going to mean rates should come down. Well, it's actually done the opposite. Ever since we started cutting rates, the bond market has been saying, oh, we're not going to cut rates very much from here because the economic data keeps coming in strong. Inflation expectations are not dropping like crazy. So, now we're looking at a bond market that is suggesting by the end of 2025, we might get one, maybe two, but most likely it kind of seems like it's settling around one. And when you're talking about one, you're also not too far off from none. And if you're not too far off from none, the question is there a possibility, as we were just discussing before starting the podcast, is there the possibility with all this kind of back and forth whipsawing of sentiment that we even go one further and discuss the possibility of rate hikes back on the table in 2025. It's not out of the question. And, you know, there's some semblance here of what we saw in 2022, which was some very strong, economic data that kept employment numbers very strong. If you remember, for the audience listening, during that time, employees had way more power than employers. Everybody was getting the remote work. It was because there was so much aggressive hiring, wage growth, et cetera, that it was contributing to the inflation story. Of course, there's one nuance there, which was Russia and Ukraine causing some supply issues that really changed the inflation landscape. But there are some things that echo that strong economic data suggesting that, you know, employment data stays strong. But again, we're just days away from that NFP number to see kind of what comes next on that front.
Yeah, it's a very reactive market, always has been, but particularly with so many bits of data coming out week by week, day by day. You mentioned those services PMI numbers yesterday. We've got the minutes a bit later today from the Fed, and on Friday, those all important NFP numbers, which of course could go the other way. I mean, we've had many occasions where markets are expecting a big number, then it's much lower, and vice versa. So what are markets predicting for this Friday's jobs number?
Yeah, so with the jobs number, and just to reiterate kind of what we started on with this episode today, was just discussing this idea that, you know, is good news now bad news again? I would actually say that the jobs data on Friday, if you get a healthy number, then it's okay. But if you get a strong number, a real hot number, that I would say with pretty good confidence, that would be taken as bad news for the market, because then it's like, now we really don't know where rate cuts are coming. We might factor in zero for 2025. So if we take a look at expectations for Friday, we're forecasting 164,000 jobs. If you get somewhere up in the high 100s or even close to 200s, that's going to, and of course, remember that we're reporting December's numbers, which are going to be a little bit lower just due to seasonality, right? When you talk about the holiday period, hiring is going to be a little bit lighter just naturally. But if you get still during that period, some really strong uptick data, that's going to probably actually scare the market and you know, suggest that 10-year could continue higher. But if you get something, to your point, if something reverses course and kind of allows the market to breathe a sigh of fresh air, you're talking about a, you know, right around forecast or slightly lower would be probably actually welcomed by the market. And if you get significantly lower or significantly higher, that's going to be more of the concerning thing, either on the inflationary side if it's higher, or recessionary side if it's lower. But again, right now, labor statistics seem to be holding up decently. So I would suggest that maybe the more scary scenario would actually be really strong jobs data. But also, one last thing to point out about Friday's numbers, Johnny, is, you know, everything's about inflation in 2025. And the question, too, about average hourly earnings will be really on the table as well. Do people get aggressive wage growth? Because, of course, as much as, you know, wage increases are great for the individuals, they on an aggregate level can contribute towards inflation.
And it's interesting that Donald Trump's going to be inheriting a strong economy, and, you know, his promises of drill, baby, drill, and so on, which actually could bring down the price of oil even further than it has been in recent times. Supposing, for instance, that the price of oil comes right down over the next year or so because of his promises of drilling as much as possible and all the other factors involved, and we get a price of $70 a barrel or lower, that will bring down inflation and still having high interest rates.
Yeah. And, you know, you brought up oil, which is a really kind of a key part of this story here, and maybe the big differential between 2022 and now. Again, if you see oil prices, which have been on the rise recently, we're at, for U.S. oil, around $75 a barrel right now, you know, WTI, that is, if you're looking at that and you're saying, okay, that's definitely off its lows, high 60s. Can we get back down to those high 60s, or perhaps even take out those lows, get down into the mid 60s? Yeah, that's definitely going to contribute to helping the inflation story. And again, remember, we got caught up in a lot of this funk, not just in the U.S., but globally, due to the supply issues that were brought on largely by the Ukraine and Russia war, And, you know, depending on who you ask, right, propaganda would tell you that that was put the blame on Putin kind of thing. But just generally speaking, you know, supply constraints in general are inflationary. So we don't necessarily have nearly as much of an issue with that. And if the drill, baby, drill stuff actually takes place, then yeah, it actually could act to do the opposite effect and actually really help with the inflation story. So oil prices are also going to be very key this year.
And if the geopolitical situation changes, we can see there's a possibility of a ceasefire deal in the Middle East between Israel and Hamas. And Trump was on the TV only yesterday saying, you better do a deal before I come back into power. Otherwise, they'll be literally hell to pay. This is what he said. That may help the scenario as well, because we have this problem with Yemen and the Houthis and a supply problem there because ships are having to go the long way around and so on. And maybe Ukraine may change. So it could be very good news because it may mean the end, we hope, of some of these conflicts, which will help the supply issue and further help the global economy.
Yeah, I think Trump definitely takes inspiration from the Reagan, you know, big stick idea, right? Where you kind of have the strongest kind of position and you bully others around a little bit with it just to kind of keep the peace. It's kind of like the big brother effect, if you will. And yeah, that actually could certainly help if tensions were to be relieved. That would also take some of the premium out of the price of oil that simply is there for kind of risk and risk exposure hedging, et cetera, for many portfolios. I mean, that is a variable in the price of oil. Of course, if you get the double whammy, I think, you know, the last thing I'll say about that too, Johnny, is that Trump uses the stock market as a scorecard. It's something that he really, really cares about. He wants a good stock market. He boasted about his, you know, previous administration having a strong stock market for most of it prior to the pandemic sell-off that happened. But, you know, you look at it and you say, okay, that's something that he cares about. He knows that the key, and he also, by the way, really wants low rates. The key to that is appeasing the Fed, keeping inflation low. And so, you know, I think that we saw a little bit of his willingness to work with Jerome Powell recently. It just seems to be this idea that Trump has a lot of bark, and sometimes the bite matches the bark, but not always, right? Sometimes there's this big, big talk about, oh, I'm going to throw Jerome Powell out there, or I'm going to, you know, do this and that. The question is, how much of it becomes real on January 20th once we see change in power?
Okay, Nick, we'll speak to you again on Friday after those non-farm payroll numbers. Until then, have a great day.
Thanks, Johnny. You too.
Market Insights, the Market Pulse podcast by Oanda.